Welcome back. And now we'll enter our co-created Dharma talk, perhaps with the writing that you did in your quick write this morning, or perhaps with the writing that a number of people did several months ago. As you know, Dana and I collaborated to compile a book. And this is the cover, Most Intimate Ordinary Way, Recollections of Catherine Thanos. And a number of the contributors are here today to either read from their piece or share about their relationship with Catherine. And for those contributors, even if your piece is quite long, I'm going to ask you to limit yourself to just a couple of minutes. And even those who didn't know Catherine or didn't know Catherine well are touched by her life because, well, here we are, still connected to Santa Cruz Zen Center and Monterey Bay Zen Center. So we'll open in the traditional way with the opening a Dharma talk verse, and we'll close in a traditional way. And I'll just call on people one at a time. If you don't want to share today, that's fine. You can just say pass and I'll call on the next person. An unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Patrice, would you begin, please?
Really?
If you would rather not, just say
no,
pass.
I'll say that as I was reading the book that a lot of people contributed to and remembering Catherine through it, one of the things that struck me is that every single remembrance of Catherine, I could relate to my remembrance of Catherine through that person. And so it really got me to feeling the web that we all are a part of and we're a part of with Catherine here and are a part of with Catherine still, that, you know, every single person, every single relationship, there's both some transmission from Catherine and also a sense of that person in and of themselves and my relationship with them and the Dharma. And I even went so far as to go back to the list of everybody that was ordained and look at every single name and look at what names, where I had a name and overlap with somebody else with a certain word or part of my name, and then to look at those people and to see what, how I resonated with those particular people or other people even who had a much different name. So I really, it was a beautiful exercise in really understanding a deep, sort of the depth of the connection that we all wove together with Catherine. And even still, even I have a picture of her here in the room where I am. It's a picture of her sort of living the high life at Tassajara with her hat and sitting in her chair. And I think she will be extremely pleased and gratified and even blessed in all of our connections to each other and with her through each other. I feel like I'm going on and on, so maybe I'll just stop there.
Thank you, Patrice, for your depth of relationship and clarity about the unity of this extended Sangha. You've made reference now to the book, and I'll say a couple things about it. Many people are asking me and Dana about it. The contributors have received their copy, and some will be reading from it today. The end of the book is the list of people that Catherine ordained, either in Jukai or Tokudo, and her transmitted lay, transmitted, and priest-transmitted people. About 35 people contributed to the book, and about 65 people were invited to contribute to the book. So there's this complex web of relationship that Patrice is making reference to. There have been enough people who have asked about this that we are considering making a second printing and figuring out a way to distribute it even while we're sheltering in place. So that's in the works. Please know that that's in the works. All right. Susan, would you please share next?
Jean, you're muted too.
Is my sound on the... No? I'm sorry. I think now. Yes?
Yes.
Further.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I'm just going to believe. I'm so moved to be able to sit again with friends that I have known ever since I entered practice. It's very, very wonderful that we're still here and together. I'll read a little bit. I find myself a little speechless. Everywhere there is Catherine, the shape of dried leaves, the intricate geometry of dried salsify blossoms, the absence of her, the ever-presentness of her. She took root in me. My whole life thanks you for this teaching. I don't know how it was that I discovered and walked in to what was at that time the Unitarian Church in Monterey, where we sat together. I don't know how it was that I found Catherine. But she took a hold of me. She took a hold of me and I think I was completely untethered when I discovered her, and Zazen, and found a home for my spirit. So all of life flows out from that moment all of that time. What I loved very much about Catherine, what I love to remember is her ability to enter completely into the moment. Whatever that moment was, whether it was a rose that she passed on the other side of the picket fence when she took her walk, whether it was a moment when I was sitting in Manhattan on the stone steps, and she phoned me for some inexplicable reason, and I was able to share this moment sitting in the midst of the city, and she was so completely present in that moment with me, enjoying the passing scene and this was a remarkable openness and happen to each and every moment, whatever it held. So thank you very much for asking me to share. I'm not sure it made too much sense, but thank you. Now I can't hear you.
Thank you, Susan. The relationships are deep and long. Matt, would you please go next?
Thank you. I just wanted to share a little about the book itself. I just finished it a couple of days ago. I was pacing myself, reading one per day. And after each one, I would go back and read mine, which offers a bunch of different views of Catherine. And the whole book was like different views or reflections. It's like a mirror samadhi. And many of them, you see them reflected in each other. It's really, really beautiful. So that was what I appreciated about it. Thank you. I saw some new ones too.
Thank you, Matt. And this variety of perspectives thing is like no one person is going to be able to completely recreate Catherine, you know. And all of these perspectives together kind of give a hint at what she was up to. Thank you very much. And Kathy, would you please go next?
Yeah, I'm going to just read what I wrote. I think I if I started talking, you might have to, you know, pull the hook on me. It's fairly short. And I also want to apologize in advance. I need to leave at 11:40 to go do something. So this is, okay, no preface, just read. What can I do to overcome my fear? A student asked Catherine on the second day of Sesshin. Her eyes were calm and direct as she responded. These are Catherine's words. What you have to do ultimately, when you can, when your heart is ready, and your mind, and your stomach, is to get up close to it, breathe it, smell it, listen to it, touch it. It has to come into the body. Allow your mind to experience the sensation. Stay with it. Inhale and exhale. Don't go someplace else in your mind. Enter the experience. Feel the warmth, the movement, the solidity, or the dissolution with a quiet mind, an accepting mind. Catherine taught us that practice lives in and through our bodies. Ring the bell after I initiate the bow, she'd say, if she was training you to be Doan. To be her Jiko, you had to understand, when you offer incense, have it meet where my hands are. Don't leave it hanging out in space where I have to reach for it. During my years of intense training, it was her intimacy with the way I showed up or didn't in my body that helped cut through my conditioned habits to challenge me into authentic presence. Pay attention to your disembodied, space-filling speaking and actions, she told me during a teary dokusan. Watch for the discrepancy between what you say and do. Be aware of how you manifest in the world. It wasn't easy to hear such things. And we did go through some difficult periods in our relationship. But Catherine was old school in this regard. To her, Zen was not about feeling good or trying to give smart answers. It was about being real together, our minds grounded in our bodies, our hearts soft and open. On the 10th anniversary of her being our teacher, we wrote a song to her, sung to the tune of the 12 Days of Christmas. We came up with examples of her core teachings for each of the years she had been with us. We all agreed on the first line. On her first year in Santa Cruz, Catherine said to me, just sit and follow your breath. This was also her final teaching. In her 23rd year in Santa Cruz, Catherine fell and hit her head and entered a coma. We set up a bed in her home. We began a 5-day sesshin. At the end of each day, we walked from the Zendo to her nearby house and did our final period of Zazen and closing refuges with her. We did this for 1 week before she died. Each day, as a stream of people flowed through her home, she lay still and silent at the center of the Sangha wheel. Inhale, exhale. She led the way. Her breath was raspy, but strong, steady, all the way to the end.
Thank you, Kathy. I wonder how many ways Catherine had to say, pay attention. Thank you. Robert, would you please read next or speak next?
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here with all of you. It's really, really a joy to see all of you. Actually, I wanted to read a poem that the poet Philip Whalen gave to Catherine on the occasion of her Shiso ceremony at Tassajara. And so I wanted to read that instead. It's from 1979, I believe. And I'll show you a picture. He wrote it out. It's called the Hymn Ad Patrum Senesis. I praise those ancient Chinamen who left me a few words, usually a pointless joke or a silly question, a line of poetry drunkenly scrawled on the margin of a quick splash picture, bug, leaf, caricature of teacher, on paper held together now by little more than ink and their own strength brushed momentarily over it. Their worlds, several others since, gone to hell in a handbasket, they knew it, cheered as they whizzed by, and conked out among the busted spring rain, cherry blossom, wine jars, happy to have been saved, happy to have saved us all. It's from Philip Whalen. Thank you very much. It's good to be here with you.
Thank you very much, Robert. The relationships are long and deep. In the 70s, that's a long time ago. Edie, would you please go next?
Can you hear me? Yes. As I read through the book, I felt even more strongly the sense of fully needing and being met by Catherine. And the stories or the writings each person contributed to me was an expression of Catherine fully meeting each one of you in their own unique way. And that was Catherine's gift. That was the gift and the common thread that weaves through all the stories in the book. So thank you all.
Thank you, Edie. What is this common thread? You know, we could call it the bloodline. And we could call it the breath line, maybe, our relationships over time. Thank you, Edie. Beth, where are you? Would you go next, please?
Thank you, Jean. It's so sweet to be here with all of you. I was remembering during Kinhin, Jean, that you gave me Zazen instruction the first Wednesday night that I came in the mid-90s. So sweet to be here with all of you and to be remembering Catherine. I don't know if this will show up, but for some reason I wanted to show this picture of Catherine that was shared with me recently. It brings me so much joy. And that I don't think I'll read from what I wrote. A couple of memories have been showing up. I'm setting a timer for me this morning as we sat together. And the first is, I think it was in the late 90s, probably many of you remember the date better than I do, when she moved from her apartment into Meg's house. And I had never been to Catherine's house. It was a moment of profound teaching for me. I already found myself deeply committed to her as a teacher and to Zen as my practice, even though that was never my intention. But that first night between Eugene and Catherine's teaching, I knew I was going nowhere. But going to her apartment, I recognized that the coordinates, the navigational coordinates that I had been following from what I had learned earlier in my life were incongruent with the yes that Catherine had shown me in her heart, in her teaching, and that day in the way that she was living, completely exposed to life in a way that I was protecting myself from, living in a place where people were struggling. And she lived so simply there. I remember carrying bags of papers and just being dumbstruck at what I was witnessing and liberated and humbled in some way. So, yeah, so many more stories, but that's one that's come to me this morning. I'm so deeply grateful for you and Dana bringing this together and for everyone and our beloved teacher. Thank you all.
Thank you, Beth. Very clear. Everyone remembers that smile of Catherine. Great, just uninhibited out there. Thank you. And Beata, would you please go next?
Sure. Thank you, Jean. And it's just so, again, I'll just reiterate what others have said. It's so lovely to be here with everyone. Thank you so much. So I just would like to share. So much could be said, you know. But I wrote this in the book. I'll just say it, which is, I don't remember the date, but it was probably early 2000s. I was going to a Sunday evening class. We were all sitting in the Zendo on the floor for our class, and it was before class, hadn't started yet. So Catherine was kind of sitting on the floor facing us, gathering her papers, and this would have been in the old Zendo with the floor that kind of slanted. And anyway, she was gathering her papers together, and we were all waiting. And she suddenly looked up, and she said, "There is no Catherine. Isn't that joyous?" And she smiled her big smile. And I will always carry that as one of the most profound teachings I've ever received in my Zen practice. There is no Catherine. Isn't that joyous? And I got the message, you know, Beata is extra. You know, that suffering self is added on. It's an add-on. So I thought that was just so profound and such a simple, just her own kind of immediate realization. And looking up and saying it so directly was very powerful to me and very, I learned over time, you know, kind of the way she taught, very direct, strong, and no, nothing hidden. Thank you.
Thank you, Beata. Very clear. Those moments are palpable. They live on in our bellies, don't they? And Patrick, please.
So we've heard Catherine's own words today. One of her recurrent teachings was to let go of your story. Please put down the story, the repeated patterns of your mind that are really a limited view. And when you can put down your story, you can step into meeting those 10,000 things, meeting boundlessness, meeting wholeness, meeting the whole works. She illustrated this with a series of lectures that we all remember about her walks around the neighborhood each day. And she became very interested in the reconstruction, remodel of this house in her neighborhood. That really was a big deal. They raised the whole house. They put a whole floor underneath. They rebuilt the porch. They put in new windows. And Catherine sort of had this relationship with the ongoing process. And after several months, finally they put on the finishing touches. They painted the house, and Catherine found herself horrified by the colors that they chose to paint the house. It wasn't so bad. You know, it was in my neighborhood too. I saw the whole thing. It was kind of this light, lemon curd yellow with a darker mustard yellow trim. But Catherine was just horrified. And then she said, I should look at this. What is this narrow palette of my mind that can't accept these colors? And really kind of worked on that over and over until it really opened up. She saw different choices that could be made in her life, in her palette, in the way she looked at the world. So I've written, you know, maybe Jean and Dana invited us to write a poem as well as prose, because in our Soto tradition, sometimes students would present a poem to the teacher expressing their understanding of the teaching. So this is my poetic gift to Catherine. What is the barrier that separates you and me? It is just the height of a thought. It is just the weight of an idea. Can I climb that? Can I put down this and enter the vast field that is nothing but us? Thank you, and it's great to be with all of you.
So there we have it, all of us expanding the palette of what is possible. I'd like to read just a little bit from my piece in this book. In her teaching, Catherine expressed both humility and stability. Part of Catherine's gift, perhaps influenced by being the daughter of Greek immigrants, was her ability to translate the old country sensibility of the forms of practice to Westerners who could barely perceive the nuances of the Japanese-influenced way. Catherine subtly taught me how to enact the roles of service as Doan, as Kokyo, or Doshi. She simply lived the forms, assuming that I was paying attention. On one occasion, after I had apparently been an awkward jisha as a novice priest, Catherine indicated that I should assume the Doshi role for service with her as my attendant. With great precision, Catherine passed the stick of incense to me at the altar, moving it exactly on time, holding it exactly upright, exactly in the center, and at exactly the height my hand could easily reach. Soon thereafter, I asked Catherine, "How can I ever thank you enough?" Her response, clear and unshakable: "The best way to thank me is to continue your practice." Let's move into service now with the Metta Sutta. We'll begin with bells. And if you would like to do the three bows fully, I'll watch and time the bells with you. Metta Sutta, and then we'll close.
Metta Sutta. What to be accomplished by the one who is wise, who seeks the good and has obtained peace. Let one be strenuous, upright, and sincere without pride, easily contented and joyous. Let one not be submerged by the things of the world. Let one not take upon oneself the burden of riches. Let one's senses be controlled. Let one be wise but not puffed up. And let one not desire great possessions even for one's family. Let one do nothing that is mean or that the wise would reprove. May all beings be happy. May they be joyous and live in safety. All living beings, whether weak or strong, in high or middle or low realms of existence, small or great, visible or invisible, near or far, born or to be born, may all beings be happy. Let no one deceive another, nor despise any being in any state. Let none by anger or hatred wish harm to another, even as a mother at the risk of her life watches over and protects her only child. So with a boundless mind should one cherish all living things, suffusing love over the entire world, above, below, and all around, without limit. So let one cultivate an infinite goodwill toward the whole world, standing or walking, sitting or lying down. During all one's waking hours, let one practice the way with gratitude. not holding to fixed views, endowed with insight, freed from sense appetites, one who achieves the way will be freed from the duality of birth and death. May our intention equally extend to every being and place, with the true merit of Buddha's way. All Buddha's 10 directions, 3 times. All beings, Bodhisattva, Mahasattvas. Wisdom beyond wisdom. Mahaprajna Paramita.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this day sit, for honoring Catherine in this way. I'm happy to hang out for a little bit as if we're on the back porch and chat with one another. Please enjoy the rest of the day if you have to leave.
I just wanted to say something. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I didn't know Catherine, but it's really nice to hear her spirit and her essence of who she was reverberating through all of you. And so I feel like I know her, even though she wasn't in my presence when she was alive.
Very clear. Thank you, Shakti. This is the gift of lineage, isn't it? Thank you.
Yes.
Liz?
Thanks to all who shared today, and thanks, Jean, for convening this sitting in this way. It was so beautiful, really, really touching, and a lot of inspiration. So I feel filled up. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Patrice?
I just wanted to add my gratitude and my thank yous to everybody. And also to Jean and Dana in absentia for encouraging us to put together this lovely little book. It's a tremendous remembrance of Catherine, and it's especially nice to see my Monterey friends, who we practiced together in my very early days, and Beth from Ocean Gate. And Patrick, a little shout out to you, who, when I first came to the Zendo, you taught me how to not sit facing the altar. Thank you for that.
That would have been a horrible mistake.
Oh, no, it was. You came right up to me and told me it was. So I was glad for that correction. And thank you so much. Catherine lives on through each and every one of us here, and through the broader Sangha, and through in everything, and I think especially in our gratitude. Thank you all very much.
Robert, that was a beautiful poem of Philip Whalen. Do you have any idea what the title means?
No, I'd have to look it up.
Are there any Latin scholars among us?
Yeah, I don't know. He often would use Latin in his poetry, but I do not know what this. I think it's something like him to something. So
I think it's Chinese.
I'll find out, and I'll let you know.
Great.
It looks like Matt maybe had a sense of it.
Oh, just at the end, something it looked like about Chinese men, homonym sinensis or something.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the first line.
Sandra, please.
Thank you. I would just like to express my gratitude to Catherine. I know she's here with us. And I'd like to express my gratitude to her because I've gained so much from reading her book, The Truth of This Life. I haven't read it cover to cover, but just about. And everything that I have read has spoken to me. So I'd like to express my gratitude to her and to also all of the teachers at the Santa Cruz Zen Center and the students of the Santa Cruz Zen Center who are carrying forth her spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Really, if you want to know Catherine well, that the truth of this life really captures her sense. Thank you. Yes, Deborah.
In the Monday morning group, which I'm very grateful for, we're beginning her book. And I found reference to it through Natalie Goldberg. And it was through Natalie Goldberg that I was reading in Santa Cruz last September that I found SCZC. So as a newcomer and I'm just in awe that in this moment I get to be with you all 4 hours away. And Jean, I was so touched by your genuine energy of love and perhaps reverence for Catherine and that, you know, how can we thank anyone? And it is in carrying on the very best of what they teach us. And I just think that's so precious. So in continuing the practice, I'm very grateful for everyone and everything.
Thank you, Deborah. The circle really is unbroken. Very good. With our work now laid out in front of us in many ways, please enjoy the rest of this afternoon. Beata, was that a signal that you wanted to say something?
Well, I always have to greet the cardinal, so cardinal. And also, just thank you all so much. It was really, really lovely.
All right. Thank you very much. Please enjoy the rest of this wonderful day. The longest day of the year.
Oh, thank you all. So good to see you.
Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.